Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The Museum of Healthcare is entering a new chapter, announcing it will now be known as the Canadian Museum of Healthcare, a name change that reflects the museum's growth and an expanding vision for its future. Located in the Ann Bailey Building on the Kingston General Hospital site, the museum explores the history of healthcare from the 18th century to the modern era. While rooted in Kingston, its exhibits already tell stories from across the country, highlighting key developments in national medical history. Anna Collette, Programming and Communications Coordinator with the Canadian Museum of Healthcare, spoke to the decision to change the name.
This has been a long time coming because our collection is actually quite national. We have over 35,000 artifacts in our collection, and it's the largest collection of medical artifacts in Canada. So we thought it was a great time to, with the new year, to start aligning ourselves with our collection and our actual outreach.
Colette says visitors shouldn't expect a dramatic shift in the museum's direction. The gallery already features artifacts and stories from across Canada, tracing the progress of healthcare nationally, also making the new name a more accurate reflection of what the museum already offers. Colette shared some of the museum's current offerings.
So with our national collection, we can certainly reach within our own collection as well. One example I can think of is a pair of dentures that was made by a man in British Columbia, and he didn't want to pay for his dentures, so he actually went and shot a deer and filed down the teeth to make a pair of deer teeth dentures. That's another interesting artifact we have that's from British Columbia. One exhibit we have focuses on vaccination and immunization, so it takes quite a large scope because it looks at cases of different diseases like polio, diphtheria, and smallpox, and how that has changed since vaccination programs have been introduced. So it takes quite a large scope, and we have an artifact called the Iron Lung, which was built in Toronto, and it's quite the star artifact at the museum. It was used for children who had polio who couldn't breathe on their own. It's from the 1930s before vaccination was introduced, so it really shows a time before vaccines.
Looking ahead, the Canadian Museum of Healthcare will continue the work it has always done, all while embracing new opportunities to tell an even broader range of stories from Canada's healthcare past.
So we're hoping it brings a bit more attention to healthcare history and also our role in Kingston and reaching even further to national scope. So starting in Kingston, we've always been deeply rooted in Kingston, but hoping to branch out a little bit. The Canadian Museum of Healthcare is open Wednesday to Friday, 10 to 4 during the winter. And starting in June, we're open every day from 10 to 4. And students with their IDs, admission is $5.
Another year, another city budget passed, this time with a 3.75% property tax increase for Kingstonians. Mayor Brian Patterson proposed the 2026 budget under the authority of the strong mayor powers, which were put in place last spring. Patterson's total municipal budget comes in at $530 million. Patterson says this budget was a challenge, but landed on the right balance.
I think it's fair to say, without exaggeration, this was an incredibly challenging budget process. I think everybody around the table is aware of the cost pressures that we are facing as a municipality. At the same time, understanding that cost of living continues to be a major priority and concern for our residents. So being able to find the line between those two was very difficult. I think it caused a lot of work, a number of different options and ideas that we had to work through. But again, this was a team effort with staff. And so I think that we've got it right.
After more than 6 hours of deliberation over two nights, council heard from external organizations including Kingston Police, Tourism Kingston, and the Southeast Public Health Unit, followed by presentations from internal city departments. Major spending items in this year's budget include $75 million for road repair and maintenance, along with $10.1 million for supportive housing. An additional $2.5 million will be used to operate new transitional housing, with four new sites expected to open in 2026. Housing and road conditions remain longstanding concerns for many Kingstonians. Roughly half of the 3.75% tax increase is driven by rising police and fire service costs. The Kingston police budget will increase by 6% this year. While notable, it's significantly lower than last year's 13.7% increase, which sparked widespread debate both inside and outside council chambers. Another topic of interest for council and community members alike was the impact tariffs would have on this year's budget. Treasurer Desiree Kennedy says the anticipated cost increases largely failed to materialize. The most significant impact was tied to the city's last electric bus purchase, with tariffs adding about 1%, roughly $17,000, to the cost. When it came time for final approval, only two amendments were brought forward. Councillor Jimmy Hassan proposed a freeze on council raises.
We know this is a difficult time for many households. Costs are rising, budget are tight, and people are asking how government at every level can help ease the pressure rather than add to it. Freezing our wages is one small but meaningful way we can contribute. It allows the city to focus its resources where they matter most, on essential services, long-term investment, and keeping tax increase as low as possible. This decision is about being careful with the public money and doing our part to support the broader financial health of the city. This amendment reflects how we see our role as elected official. We are here to serve, to listen, and to make choices that put the community first, especially when times are challenging. By voluntarily freezing our wages, we are sharing in the responsibility of managing these pressure and helping the city move forward in a thoughtful and steady way. That is the intention behind this motion and why we believe it is the right step at this time. Also, we like to show the support and solidarity with the mayor's decision to freeze his pay and all the other employees of the city who's non-union employees. Working together for the people, it is the greatest thing. And I really want to appreciate Mayor Brian Patterson and the team to be agree on to freeze their salaries increase this year.
The second amendment, introduced by Councillor Gregory Ridge, allocated an additional $100,000 in grant funding from the Working Fund Reserve to the City of Kingston Arts Fund.
So with the conclusion of the CCAF review and the approval of the new CCAF framework, this additional investment, which is a one-time thing, will enable artists to achieve more goals in terms of increasing access and inclusivity, supporting artists, fostering creativity and community engagement, building capacity and resiliency. One of the things that I highlighted earlier on is that arts and culture is often something that's looked at in terms of adjustments that need to be made, and for a number of reasons. There's no criticism there, Your Worship. But also that when I think about Kingston, and I think about a space that is defined by the cultural works that come out of it, and how we punch far above our weight in terms of cultural impact, and so I am very happy to put forward this amendment. I think it will do a great deal of good. It will help to see some of those intended outputs for CCAF for this year.
Both amendments pass unanimously. With that, council approved the 2026 city budget, the final budget of this council's term. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, I'm Henry Walker, here with your Queens Campus Beat, Queens Campus News, here on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca. This past weekend marked the return of TEDx QueensU, Queens University's annual TEDx conference, held at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts. The event ran through Saturday, January 24th, and Sunday, January 25th, drawing student leaders, Kingston community members, and public audiences. Now in its 16th year, TEDx Queen's U is recognized as Canada's second largest TEDx event and the largest student-led TEDx conference in the country. This year's theme was Orchestrate, centering on bringing distinct ideas and perspectives into harmony to foster connection, collective impact, and meaningful action. The conference showcased speakers from a range of fields, business, science, arts, culture, and social innovation, offering TED-style talks designed to inspire constructive discourse on campus and beyond. Among the speakers highlighted in local media was John Edward McGraw, a multicultural workplace expert and inclusive communication specialist. At the event, McGraw addressed issues around workplace inclusion and cultural communication challenges, sharing insight drawn from his work teaching and coaching across Canada and abroad. Among speakers included a mix of student voices and local innovators, including Corey Firth, CC Zhu, Morgan Lightthin, and Shannon Mornay, each delivering talks aimed at tackling contemporary challenges and offering new frameworks for thinking in their fields. Overall, the conference brought a broad range of perspectives to the stage at the Isabel, reinforcing Queen's reputation for fostering interdisciplinary dialogue and student leadership in thought-provoking events. In other news, the Center for International and Defense Policy, CIDP, at Queen's School of Policy Studies has launched a new advisory council aimed at strengthening the center's research, engagement, and policy impact in defense and security. The announcement was made on January 23, 2026, by Dr. Michael Murphy, director of the CIDP. The advisory council is co-chaired by retired General Wayne Earn, former chief of the defense staff of the Canadian Armed Forces, and Dr. Sharon Regan, associate dean of research at Queen's. Members also include national policy figures such as retired Lieutenant General Blaise Frawley, former deputy commander of NORAD, Dr. Veronica Kitchen, University of Waterloo, Dr. Felipe Lagasse, Barton Chair in International Affairs, Dr. David Perry, President of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute, Dr. Gyal Rivard-Pichet, Conference of Defense Associates Institute, and Dr. Paul Sampson, Center for International Governance and Innovation. The CIDP's new advisory council is intended to offer strategic guidance on the center's research direction, policy engagement, and knowledge mobilization. According to Dr. Murphy, the reconstituted council supports the center's mission at a time when defense and security policy issues are increasingly complex and globally relevant. In broader university news, Queen's University was ranked 6th globally and 1st in Canada in the 2025 Times Higher Education Impact Rankings, reflecting its contributions to advancing the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. This marks the 5th consecutive year the university has placed in the global top 10 for these impact measures. Also, coming up events. March 13th to 14th, you'll see the Feminist Legal Studies at Queen's, in partnership with Queen's Faculty of Law, will be organizing its annual International Women's Day Conference, again between March 13th and 14th. The event will be held in a hybrid format at Robert Sutherland Hall in the School of Policy Studies, with calls for academic panels and papers still active. I've been Henry with your Queen's Campus Beat, providing you with your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, January 28th, daytime high of minus 10, but it will be sunny, albeit quite cold. Thursday, January 29th, bitterly cold here in the city of Kingston, daytime high of minus 14. We'll actually feel a little closer to minus 12 in the sun, but we do have the possibility of some isolated flurries in the afternoon. Friday, January 30th, daytime high of minus 11, feeling closer to minus 20. More snow in the forecast, not a ton of accumulation, but we will have snow falling on the 30th of January. Saturday, January 31st, daytime high of minus 10, feeling closer to minus 12, otherwise it is sunny. And we get our first single-digit negative temperature day coming up on Sunday, February 1st, daytime high of minus 7, only going to feel like -9, practically balmy compared to everything that came before it. And then Monday, February 2nd, daytime high of -5, overnight low of -11, with a little bit of snow forecasted for the afternoon. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. As a reminder, winter parking restrictions are in effect for January and February, which bans any on-street overnight parking in the City of Kingston. The rules will lax on March 1st, when overnight street parking will only be banned when the weather permits it. Here are some road closures for this week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Market Street, King to Ontario is closed beginning on January 26th at 7 a.m. to February 20th at 11 p.m. for the Spirit of Winter event. And in terms of other delays, just the one to report, Front Road Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage.
Could the universe itself be conscious? Hey, hey, what's up, everyone? It's Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I've got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. On Wednesday, January 28th, swing by Something in the Water Brewing Company for board games from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. On Thursday, January 29th, strengthen, stretch, and sweat at all levels yoga, Thrive 365, at the Athletics and Recreation Center, or the ARC as we call it, in Studio 4 from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock p.m., suitable for all participant levels. The Kingston Grand Theater is hosting the beautiful Swan Lake in the Rosen Auditorium at 7 o'clock p.m. And if you'd like to meet like-minded individuals, roll on to Splitsville from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. for a premium after-hours business networking event in a relaxed and informal atmosphere. If you're looking for weekend plans, I'm your girl. On Friday, January 30th, the Kingston Frontenacs are looking to win their 7th consecutive home game. The Fronts play the Sudbury Wolves at Slush Puppy Place at 7:05 p.m. Bring your friends and let them know, go Fronts go! The Grand Shanghai Circus will also be performing at the Kingston Grand Theater in the Rosen Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. And of course, bring a date or bring your situationship and head to Friday Night Karaoke at the Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. Definitely don't forget your cowboy shoes. On Saturday, January 31st, I have the perfect excuse to dress up a little. Head to the Queen's Football Awards night at the Kingston Grand Theater in the Rosen Auditorium at 6:30 p.m. And last but certainly not the least, on Sunday, February 1st, swing by Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center grounds from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from us to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next week. If we could live forever, would life become meaningless? Hey, hey, it's still Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Continuing with our concert calendar for the week, on Wednesday, January 28th, we have quite the busy night at Hotel Wolf Island. Catch DJ Great White playing from 4 to 7 p.m. Hollowbody will also be playing at the Hotel Wolf Island from 6:30 to 7:30, followed by the Hotel Sessions Open Mic Night from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. For my country roads folks, Tyler Brett Forks hits the stage at the Bank Gastro Bar at 5:30 until 7:30 p.m. Wrapping up the night, Nolan Hubbard takes the stage at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Thursday, January 29th, kick the night off at the Creekside Bar and Grill with Donnie Cooper at 6 p.m. until 8. At 7 p.m., don't miss Simply the Best, a Voices Rock Medicine Winter Showcase happening at the Spire. And for those of you eager for the weekend, Quinlan Shearer will be live at the Toucan from 9:30 p.m. until 1 a.m. And of course, my favorite time of the week, on Friday, January 30th, kick off the evening at the Toucan for some live musical entertainment by Christopher Jackson from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. If sports is more your thing, head to KNR Sports Bar to watch the Toronto Raptors, accompanied by music from the Trevor Walsh Band starting at 8 p.m. To finish off your night, make sure to warm up those vocal cords first and head to karaoke at the Buckle from 9 to 11:30 p.m. Continuing the weekend strong, on Saturday, January 31st, we're starting off early at 4 p.m. Catch Purple Diamonds live at Time Out Bar and Bistro until 6:30 p.m. At 6 p.m., head to the Cove Inn for the Westport Senior Living Fundraiser featuring Henry Norwood and Sean McCullough, running until 10 p.m. The Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts is hosting Rights Reclaimed from 7 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. And if you're heading out for a late night date night, Sweet Pea and the Heat hit the stage at the Toucan from 10:30 p.m. until 2 a.m. To wrap up your week of music, on Sunday, February 1st, starting in the afternoon at 2 p.m., Mindy and Dennis Pacheco will be live at the Creekside Bar and Grill until 4 p.m. Also at 2 o'clock, Sunday Sessions with Tom Savage and Friends runs until 5 o'clock at the Kingston Yacht Club. And later in the night, enjoy Scott Owen at the Brass Pub performing some country tunes at 10 p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.